SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. Inspectors from the UN Nuclear Agency have found traces of radioactive material at a building in Tehran that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu identified last September as a secret atomic warehouse. Inspectors took soil samples and have now definitely concluded that there were traces of radioactive material there. The International Atomic Energy Agency said on Wednesday that inspectors have verified Tehran's claims that it has started enriching uranium to 4.5% purity. US President Donald Trump responded that sanctions against Iran would soon be raised significantly. However, the US under Trump withdrew from the 2015 deal, limiting Iran's uranium stockpile. Iran's representative, Kazem Harab Abadi, said his country's nuclear program was for peaceful purposes, but said it was prepared to resume full implementation of the nuclear deal, commensurate with the implementation of the commitment by all participants. The IDF on Monday uncovered a cross-border attack tunnel that entered Israeli territory from the Gaza Strip, 5 years after the start of an operation aimed at finding and destroying such passages. The tunnel was found during the construction of an underground barrier around Gaza. It was not yet clear if the tunnel was newly dug or an older tunnel that had not yet been found by the IDF. Mahmoud Ahmad Sabri Al-Adam, 28, was shot dead by Israeli troops on the Gaza border on Thursday in what the army characterized as a misunderstanding. The military acknowledged that he had erroneously been identified by soldiers as an armed terrorist, but was apparently a Hamas operative trying to stop Palestinian youths from breaching the security fence. The army's statement was an effort to calm tensions with Hamas and prevent another round of violence on the border. Hamas's military wing said in a statement that it would not let the death go unpunished and Israel would bear the consequences of the criminal act. On Friday morning, the IDF deployed further batteries of the Iron Dome missile defense system in the south of the country as Hamas threatened to avenge the death of Al-Adam. Two rockets were fired from the Gaza Strip towards southern Israel on Friday night. Sirens sounded at approximately 10 p.m., sending residents rushing to bomb shelters. Some 6,000 Palestinians gathered on the Gaza border for Friday protests, where some rioters hurled rocks as well as explosive devices at soldiers. 55 people were injured, some by live fire. A 10-year-old Palestinian boy was amongst those wounded during a clash with the IDF at a violent demonstration against the security barrier in the village of Kfar Kadum, west of Nablus, on Friday afternoon. Foreign ministry employees have stepped up protests over budget cuts to overseas diplomatic missions, announcing on Thursday that embassy workers will not handle the logistic preparations for Prime Minister Netanyahu's upcoming overseas visits until their dispute with the finance ministry is resolved. Israeli embassy workers will also not issue diplomatic passports to ministers, Knesset members and state emissaries, or process applications and licenses for arms sales. The cutbacks to the foreign ministry halve Israel's payments to over 20 international organizations, including the UN's agencies for women, refugees, and violence prevention. Payment to the Council of Europe and international cultural projects have also ground to a halt. At Israeli embassies and consulates, dozens of cultural and public relations events, as well as youth projects, including student exchange programs in China, India, and Japan, have been cancelled due to lack of funds. The cross-the-board cuts have largely stopped all travel of ambassadors, consuls, and roving embassy workers in dozens of countries, including Australia, leading to disruptions in the consular services offered to Israeli citizens. As criticism of police violence grows in light of the killing of 19-year-old Solomon Tika, recently appointed Justice Minister Amir Ohana said on Wednesday that he was weighing up the option of establishing a government committee of inquiry headed by a judge to look into events surrounding Tika's death in particular and more generally the concerns about Mahash's capacity to effectively investigate alleged police violence. Mahash is the supposedly independent authority responsible for investigating complaints against the police. Ohana told a conference in Eilat, "Over recent days, we've heard from all sides that there's a serious problem of confidence in the police internal investigations department. These are not just Ethiopian immigrants. It's a cross-sectoral problem. This does not mean the criticism is justified. It may be due to irrelevant reasons. But if we do not conduct a thorough examination, how can we identify the root cause of the lack of trust? How can we handle it?" On Tuesday, Mordechai Kroza, an ultra-Orthodox resident of Bet Shemesh, accused police of pulling him by the side locks and beating him during a protest. Video footage backs his claims. Zuhut party leader Moshe Feiglin has told New Right chair Naftali Bennett that he is willing to give up the top spot in a union of the two right-wing factions, but only if his party is given both the second and third slots on any merged electoral slate. This raises further questions about the future of Bennett's previous number two candidate, Ayelet Shaked, who has not yet determined her political future. Earlier this month, Zuhut said it agreed in principle to a joint Knesset run with the New Right in the upcoming elections. Both parties failed to pass the 3.25% electoral threshold in April. Ayelet Shaked has been courted by Likud and by the Beit Yehudi party, from which she defected with Bennett before April's elections. A court this week overruled his parents and ordered the immediate vaccination of a child against tetanus. The 1.5-year-old was badly burned 2 weeks ago, and a pediatrician recommended a tetanus shot. The parents refused. The pediatrician reported the incident to the local health office, which turned to the welfare ministry, which filed a suit with the Hadera family court, asking for an urgent order to force the parents to vaccinate the toddler. In the ruling, the judge said the parents are good and concerned parents who care for their son, and the court is not ignoring the parents' views and their right to make decisions related to their minor son. Yet, the welfare of the child is the primary consideration, and I have been convinced in this specific case, in light of the child's wound, that the benefits of the vaccine are significantly greater than the risks, and the court cannot accept the parents' views. The court ordered the parents to vaccinate the child and granted the state permission to turn to welfare services and police to enforce the decisions. The parents obeyed the court ruling. Last week, the Ministry of Health issued a measles alert pertaining to the Black Hebrews community located in Dimona in the south, explaining that this community refuses to vaccinate children and this may endanger and infect other populations. Earlier this year, the Health Ministry issued sanctions against 8 doctors who were advising patients not to vaccinate and banned 14 preschoolers who had not been vaccinated against measles from attending kindergartens. Comments that Israel's new Minister of Education, Rafi Peretz, made 2 weeks ago received headlines this past week. Peretz said that the assimilation of Jews around the world, and mostly in the US, was like a second Holocaust, and also said that due to intermarriages in the last 70 years, the Jewish people lost 6 million people. Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, responded angrily, "It's inconceivable to use the term Holocaust to describe Jews choosing to marry non-Jews. It trivializes the Shoah. It alienates so many members of our community. This kind of baseless comparison does little other than inflame and offend." Jay Ruderman of the Ruderman Family Foundation condemned Peretz's remarks as irresponsible and disrespectful. The American Jewish Congress described his remarks as offensive and unhelpful. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.